Welcome to the All 7 A's Podcast, the podcast for you to ask questions of Stan and Trevor, and we answer them from the perspective of a couple of church members having conversations about spiritual matters, where the Bible gets to define truth and our minds and perspectives get to conform to that truth. You can send your question in at askatall7days.com, send a voicemail or text 864-660-9473, or join the All 7 A's Hangout on Facebook. You can listen to this podcast. I don't know why I tell you this, because you're already listening to this podcast if you hear me say this, but you can listen to it on all your favorite podcasting apps, and now including Amazon Music and Audible. Mugs and t-shirts.
Big time.
Mugs and t-shirts at all7days.com/shop, and you can support the podcast at anchor.fm/all7days. Thanks for listening today, everyone. Hey, Trevor. How are you?
I'm doing well, Stan. How are you doing?
So I'm doing great, actually. Just had a visit for some folks in Mississippi, and that was really great. And enjoyed having them here. They left yesterday, and so yeah, that was really good. And last time we talked, you were getting ready to do a CrossFit competition, and you have since accomplished that. So how did that go? And did you break any bones or kill anybody or pick up a 100-pound bag 100 times?
This time it was only 80-pound bag.
Oh, so you overtrained.
Yes, that was kind of the idea of using the heavier ball.
I got you.
That way when we got there, 80, it felt like nothing.
I saw the video of the felt like nothing, and it looked like you guys were tossing it a little bit quicker and a little more elevation of going over the shoulder. So I thought you guys, now you just fooled me. I just thought you were that much stronger.
It's all perception, you know. We try to fool you with good editing and the videos. Yeah. Now, you train with a heavier ball. That way we get to the competition. It's a little lighter. Plus, you're running on some adrenaline.
Yeah.
And so you're moving a little faster. Things are easier to pick up.
I see. I guess, you know, that is true. In what few competitions I've done, there's a little bit of an adrenaline rush, and you do tend to do things a little faster and a little faster pace. I know that's even true in teaching a class, right? Especially if you're really excited to teach it. You can plan for 30 or 40 minutes, but you talk so much faster when you're excited that you can do it in 20. And that leaves things open for like Q&A time, which isn't always the best. But yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and like you touch on teaching, is if you're into it, like when you're in the middle of it, people will pose questions that you probably didn't consider when you were planning it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you got to be careful, because you can go off on a tangent and ruin the entire lesson.
Yes. That's very possible. So that was down in Florida. Anything else happened down there while you were in Florida?
No, we had a good time when we were down there in Florida, and perfect weather. I think I got too much sun on Saturday, because then Sunday the competition rolled around, and I was burnt on the backs of my legs. It was hot out. It was hot. Pretty hot.
Cool. And any other significant events happened to you while you were gone?
Well, I came home and we were planning to go on vacation the following week.
So Florida is not a vacation.
No, that was work related.
Picking up heavy things is work related. Yeah. I get it. Okay, so then you're planning to go on vacation.
It was a mini vacation.
Yeah. Okay. So where are you going on vacation?
We planned a trip to Branson, Missouri,
okay,
which we went on last week. So the Saturday before, we were getting everybody packed up and trying clothes on, and I decided it was a good time to Ask Hannah to marry me.
Well, how about that?
Yes. He, so, he said, I snuck it in.
He said with a sheepish grin on his face. Well,
what, I snuck it in. It was
what was the outcome? Very random. Did she say yes, no, or maybe?
She said, "I'll get back to you." No, she, let's see how this vacation goes.
So she did say yes.
Yes, she did.
Okay,
she
cool.
She did say yes.
Well, that congratulations, and that's really exciting news. And have we set a date for the wedding? When should we show up?
We've discussed it. We're throwing around some ideas, trying to plan some stuff out. So, yeah.
So nothing in stone yet.
Nothing set yet. So okay. We're still trying to figure out, do we want a big wedding, small wedding, what we want to do.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. We've both been married once before. It's not that we don't want to share it with everybody. I just right. don't want to spend a bunch of money to share it with everybody.
You know, that's very wise. And I think any parent, any father of a daughter who's had to pay for a wedding, or anyone who's already been married once, as you are, have been, understands that you can spend a metric ton of money on a wedding, or you can go to the courthouse and walk away just as married, spending almost nothing.
Yeah.
But you know, there is something to celebrate there, and I understand the desire to celebrate. But yeah, you can always do that a lot cheaper than a big fancy wedding.
Yeah. And you know, she has family here. I have family in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We're going down to visit in December. So we could always say we were to go the courthouse route. We could always do a small little ceremony in Florida just kind of to celebrate or whatnot.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yep. We'll see. We're trying to be smart about things.
That's good. That's good.
Hannah's very logical, so she weighs out every option known to man. She's very logical.
That's
and
good.
Loves to plan.
That's
yes,
good.
She's a planner.
That's very good. It's very good to have that on your side. Yes. Yeah, when my daughter, who also is named Hannah, was getting married, I tried to offer them plane tickets to Vegas. just to save some money, and I got vetoed. So
yeah, I understand it. Like, first time getting married, that's, you know, you want to do something special to celebrate with everybody,
and not that you don't them... not that you don't this time, right? I mean, you want it to be special.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, there's the practical side of things. So good for Hannah.
Yeah. Good. And we also have 3 kids between us, and dropping a bunch of money on a one night party and be like, sorry boys, you're not going to eat for this month. We spent all the money at the wedding.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Well, very happy for you. Congratulations. And, I expect to meet her very soon.
Yes,
that's
thank
all
you.
I, that's all I got to
it.
Say about that. So she's, I'm sure she's feeling very fortunate right now, and as are you.
I am, yes.
Cool. All right, well, we have another question to get to on prayer, and we will get to that right after we take this quick break. This is the All 7 Days Podcast. I'm not sure why we take breaks on the All 7 Days Podcast, but welcome back. You probably didn't hear anything between me saying that and then opening back up. But maybe soon we'll get sponsors or something. Maybe. Who knows? Hey, Tracy. Thanks for sending in the question. We have a question that asks... It's very interesting, I thought. Her question is this. Why do we say amen? All my life, I was taught to say amen, kind of like pressing a send button for my prayers. I thought that was a very interesting way to put it. But I've recently heard several people pray who didn't. what's the right way to pray? Excellent question. So let's dig in a little bit. The first time that the word amen or amen or amin, depending on what culture you're from and how you want to say it, the first time it appears in the Bible is in Numbers, chapter 5, verse 22. I'm going to read this verse, and your homework, if you're a listener, is to email me at askatall7days.com or leave me a voicemail at 864-660-9473 and tell me what the context of this verse is. What's being tested? What is being tested in this verse? And here's the verse. May this water that brings the curse pass into your bowels and make your womb swell and your thigh fall away. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. That's the first time the word amen appears in the Bible. Your homework is to tell me what the heck is going on there. It almost sounds like... I'm not even going to speculate. I know what the context is, but I want to hear your answers to that one. So that's your homework. All right. So what is the definition of amen? What do you think of when you hear the word amen, Trevor?
To me, it's just like a closing of a prayer, like, hey, I'm stopping now.
I'm done. Tracy was saying, it's like I'm done. Send, hitting the send button on your email.
It's like you're putting the signature right at the end. Okay. Amen.
All right. So what it really means, it's derived from a Hebrew word that means truth or certainty. So when used, like from our example from Numbers, right? The woman shall say, amen, amen. It means I am in agreement with the truth you have spoken. So you hear people will say an amen from a congregation when someone's preaching, right? They'll say something and someone will say amen, meaning I agree with that. That's truth. I'm agreeing with that. So how in the world did we end up putting them on the end of prayers? So we use it, the correct way to use the word is when you agree with a statement that's been said, or when you agree with a prayer that someone's prayed or that you've prayed, right? You're saying, let what I've spoken be true, right? That's basically what you're saying when you say amen. So is it okay not to use it? You know,
I think it would be weird to pray and not end with amen.
Yeah. And I think we get that from public prayer, right? It's kind of turned into an indication that my prayer's done and you guys can open your eyes and look up. Mm-hmm. That's really kind of what we turned it into. But when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and we get the Lord's Prayer from that, it doesn't end with "In Jesus' name, Amen." Right? He doesn't include any "Amen" at the end of it.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about "Amen" at the end. Now, does it say anything about closing your eyes and folding your hands?
It does not. It does not.
But every time we go to pray, it says, you know, like sometimes the pastor say, all right, bow your heads or let's pray. And the first thing you see people do is
they bow
fold
their hands, bow their heads.
And
close their eyes, right.
Yeah.
I think that's a traditional thing that we've used to block out distractions.
Okay.
Right? It's the bowing of the head is more of a posture of submission to the one we're praying to. The closing of the eyes, I think, is an attempt to block out distractions. So we don't see what's going on around us. And so, you know, that sort of thing is going on. The folding of the hands, I think we teach children to do that so they're not fidgeting and that sort of thing. I think that's really where it came from. I don't, you know, I've seen posture in the Bible of people laying on the ground, prostrate. Which one is that?
Probably not prostate.
Prostrate. and you also see postures of people standing with their hands raised. Both of those are obviously acceptable postures of prayer. And anything in between, kneeling, sitting, all that's fine. As long as we, you know, it's more about the heart, right? But getting back to our amen, you know, I don't really see a lot of prayers in the Bible ending in amen. So I think it's more of a tradition. It's become a tradition, and it is helpful to hear a familiar phrase or a word at the end of a prayer, especially when it's done publicly, to let everyone know we're done, right? Mm-hmm. So it's become helpful, but it doesn't, I don't think it makes anything more valid or less valid. Now, we've talked about adding that other phrase in there before, amen, in Jesus' name, right? Where did that come from? And I think, you know, you had made some notes here as well that talked about Jesus talking about whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, right?
Right.
So does adding that phrase to the end of a prayer mean that we're supposed to get what we just asked for?
No, because we could be asking for things that are not of God's will.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and try to put it
right.
And say, oh, well, I prayed this in your name.
Yeah, yes. And that just doesn't cut it. But what does that mean in Jesus' name? It means by his authority and will, right? Mm-hmm. So when we add that to the end of a prayer, we're really saying, God, here's my prayer. And whatever I have prayed that lines up with your authority and your will, please make that happen in truth. Amen. Right? Mm-hmm. As long as we have that in mind when we say that, then I think it adds some validity to our prayer. But just tacking that on to the end of a prayer just to end it or hit a send button doesn't really do anything to the prayer. So is there any doctrine around this? Is there any specific teaching of the church that says you've got to say amen to end a prayer? I don't know of anything. We do understand that our prayers can only be offered by the authority of Christ and by his will, but just saying the phrase doesn't add any validity to it, more than leaving it off makes it invalid. I think it's just something we've turned into tradition, and it's not a good or bad thing to do. It's sometimes a helpful thing to do, but I don't think it adds anything to the validity of our prayers, but it doesn't take anything away from it if we leave it off. I've known some really godly men who would just end a prayer at the end of a sentence, and, you know, I would think, wow, that was a great prayer. But there was no in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of it. So maybe he was continuing it for later. maybe that was his ellipsis, ... at the end. Because we're supposed to pray without ceasing, right? So,
right. I mean, we're so used to saying it at the end that if you were praying with somebody who didn't say it, I'm sure you could find a bunch of people looking around like, is he still going? Or is he done? Or like, what's going on?
The awkward pause at the end. Yeah. Yeah.
Is he sleeping?
So don't hear me saying that you shouldn't do it. I'm certainly not saying that. I'm just saying that it, as a tradition, it's simply that. I think it's just a tradition. It's not a bad tradition. It just is where we've come to end our prayers, especially as an American society. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we, you know, what was, as with anything in our prayer, we really need to understand what we're saying to God, right? And if we're tacking it on just to make sure we get what we ask for, then that's not going to work. And our you know, and if we're, but there again, anything we prayed before we say that should have been in Jesus' name, right? So that's.
Well, I think it's important that people know that your prayers need to be, try to be aligned with God's will first and foremost.
Yeah.
And if they're not, it doesn't matter what you put at the end, at the beginning, or in the middle.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to get it.
Not going to get it. That's right. Right. Well, if it's not God's will, then you're definitely not going to get it. So yeah. Yeah, very true. Anything else we need to talk about there?
You had the Matthew 6 verse there where Jesus was teaching the disciples. I remember growing up in the Methodist church, we'd say that out loud, and we'd always end it with an amen, even though it wasn't found in the Bible.
Yeah.
And that
probably comes from, you know, they've put that prayer to music as well, and it ends in an amen kind of thing. And that may come from there as well.
To know how it is correctly said.
I think it just depends on where you're from.
Sometimes you say amen, amen. You can say both.
If you sing it, it's amen. If you say it in the South, it's amen.
Amen. All of a sudden, there's two A's in it. Amen.
That's right. And I think if you're more of an Eastern, like a Middle Eastern or maybe a Jewish, you might say amen.
Amen.
I think that was the original. I don't know. I think that was the original pronunciation of it. Someone let me know. So, anyway, and don't forget your homework to let me know.
Yeah.
What someone is drinking this water that makes their wound swell and their thigh fall off. I don't.
That sounds like dangerous water.
Yes, it is. The Bible is full of some really interesting stuff. And if you don't believe that, there's one verse right there that you should say, what? And go read that in context and see what they're talking about. It's really interesting to see what they're testing for. It's a test. I'll just leave it at that. So that's your homework. And the first one to get me the right answer, maybe I'll send you a mug. Send that in. If you get it right, I'll send you a new mug, not available on the website, with our new logo on it. So there.
New logo.
Yep. It's good. It looks much better than the old one. The old mug, I'm sorry, people, if you got one of those, it's really awful. It's not dishwasher safe. The logo washes off. The new mug is much better. And you want one because your coffee tastes better. And it also
you definitely want one.
Yep.
Makes coffee taste better.
It does. It's much better. It's much better. It's richer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's leave it there. Thanks again for listening. We're so professional, and we really appreciate you guys listening to this.
So professional.
This banter off and on for about a couple of years now. So we really appreciate it. Remember, get your question in, askitall7days.com, 864-660-9473. Join the All7Days Hangout on Facebook. Let others know about the podcast and leave us a review on iTunes. Support us, all7days.com/shop or anchor.fm/all7days. This is the All7Days Podcast, where the goal is to make you think so highly of God that you forget about yourself. Now, go give someone what you value most today.